Are there any believers in the house this morning? Woo! Come on, keep it going. Give it, show some love for the music ministry, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tell you what, it was just we were in Birmingham, Alabama, just recently last week, and they had a phenomenal music ministry. But I tell you what, I like home. I like home. Mary makes me get my ugly worship face on. She's singing like, man, it's the truth. But praise the Lord. Listen, I'm excited about being with you this morning. Man, it has been an incredible month, 5 weeks, because it's just not the past 3 weeks, but also it's the prep that we had for Camp Decision. And I know you heard a lot from the teenagers a couple weeks ago, but you know, we've tried to pull back as much as possible to allow them to share. And so you can hear the great and mighty things that God did at Camp Decision USA, because again, I know I sound like a broken record, but basically, Camp Decision, you know, we want you to understand this, get in your heart. Camp Decision is an outreach of Family Worship Center. It is a major outreach of Family Worship Center. And it's not because, and can I just say this, and Pastor Sam being a board member, you know, can attest, Pastor Sam and Miss Nancy being one of the original three, they can attest to this, that Camp Decision has always been an outreach of Family Worship Center. It always has. So it's not like, oh, this is new because he's the ex youth minister. No, it's always been a major outreach at Camp Family Worship Center. We just feel that it needs to be highlighted more. And because, you know what, next year we want to see you involved some way, shape, or form. Maybe you're in the office, you know, helping with something, you know, but prior to. Every bit counts to make a difference, to see that teenager, that youth pastor and that pastor from a different state or this state have been praying for that young person that's there at the altar, broken, lifting up their hands and surrendering to God. And so, you know, every aspect in every way has a part to play. And so, you know, over this past Camp Decision, this past year, you know, accumulating all the entire week, because there's altar calls all week long. We estimate that over 400 decisions for Christ in those 5 days, over 400 baptized in the Holy Spirit in those 5 days, and teenagers called to the ministry, deaf ears open, blind eyes, spines straightened, corrected, relationships healed, restored, and teenagers set free. That's just the first. That was just Camp Decision. United States, USA. And all that took place in those first 5 days. And then, as you guys know, as Pastor Sam did a wonderful job last week, you know, we were at Camp Decision Quebec. And so Camp Decision Quebec, just to let you know, Camp Decision United States is 29 years old this past, a couple weeks ago, this year. So Camp Decision Quebec is actually 17 years old this year. And so they've been going for 17 years strong. And so, you know, I was able to be there, the first Camp Decision at Quebec, and I saw those hardened teenagers. Just to give you a little bit of a history of Quebec, that 0.1% of the population are evangelical Christians. So this is having a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church in Quebec is a major, it's a big deal. And that church is just doing a great work. And they've taken on Camp Decision. They're in, I believe, their 20th year of just the church being there. And they're doing great. And so they're the host church. And so for 17 years, Pastor Brian and Pastor Andy Dummerfall have been overseeing it. That week of Camp Decision Quebec, there was 100 decisions for Christ in those 5 days, 100 baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then, you know, had opportunities. Some of you that kind of followed online, social media, you guys had the opportunity that Nick, Nate, and Jules had to actually minister and step out in some of their giftings and what God's told them to do. And so it was just the French teenagers just opened them open arms, just saying, you know what? If they can do that, I can do that. If they can minister the gospel, I can minister the gospel. If they can pray for people, I can pray for people. They just caught it. They caught the vision of that, you know, and it was just absolutely amazing. And again, spine straightened. That seemed to be an echoing thing at both camps. You know, a lot of crooked spines were just straightened, the vision corrected, healed relationships again, teenagers healed from cutting. There was a huge altar call for cutting and suicide. And so they came down and they were set free of that. And even a young girl that had hurt her leg, like I saw her at the beginning of the week. She was on crutches. I didn't know much about, you know, because it's making small talk is kind of difficult because I don't speak French. And I do French fry, French toast, French dressing. That's about it. But I don't speak French. And so, you know, a small talk is, you know, somewhat challenging because you don't always have an interpreter, and not all the French teenagers speak English. A lot of them do, because you can tell when you tell a joke, and then they will laugh immediately, and then they wait, you know, you wait for the translation, and then the rest of them start laughing. So, you know, you knew I had a hard time because, you know, if you were ministering for 30 minutes. You know, they say, you know, your 30 minutes, really you have 15 because you're ministering and then it's being said again.
Yeah.
So, and then, so it's like, it's doubling up. And so, but it was a great time. You know, they really, this young lady, she was there and she had, she hurt her leg somehow. I'm not sure of the details, but she was in a wheelchair for 2 months. And then it was, still wasn't healing right. So she was, total 2 years on crutches. And because you can tell she was like a little spider monkey when she's roaming around, like, oh, she's been on the crutches for a while, you know. And that Thursday night, we call it Surrendered Night of Miracles. The power of God, we had teenagers pray for teenagers. You didn't have Pastor Kathy or I lay hands on them. We prayed, you know, had teenagers lay hands on teenagers because we wanted to show them that God wanted to use them. So the teenagers prayed for her, and I'm talking, and then you hear the scream, and it was like something you would see out of a movie. It really, really was. And I just thought to myself, my gosh, was that what it was like when the man at the gate, beautiful, said, "Give me money," and then Paul said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Stand up, because she dropped her crutch. You heard the big clank, you know, and then I look over and I'm talking, and I don't know if, I mean, they could, I don't know if that's French or tongues. I don't know what that is, you know. I'm not sure, you know. And being honest, and then she's just literally, she's putting pressure on her for the first time in over 2 years, and she's like going like this, and she's walking, and it's like she's getting stronger. Her leg is getting stronger and stronger, and before you know it, she starts walking regular, and then she starts running, and then she's down there at the front the rest of the night, just jumping up and down, worshiping God. I mean, you know, it's pretty amazing, and you know, and so I'm like looking, I'm like, well, okay, what's going on? You know, okay, but then when her youth pastor comes up, and her entire youth group steps up and starts talking about how the story. You know, how she was down for 2 years and, you know, they could not put pressure on it, doctors and everything else. So it was, you know, a great, awesome miracle, you know. And then as like I said, Pastor Sam being here last Sunday had the opportunity of ministering on Sunday morning in their host church, you know, at the church Iglesias Le Roc, which is Church on the Rock. In Quebec, and so the opportunity to minister was Sunday morning. About 50 individuals. It was a pretty incredible moment because I didn't think that many people were going to come forward. Of young and older came forward to the altar call about just being caught up, allowing their past to rob their future. And just being entangled with their past. And I was shocked. I thought there may be maybe 5 or 6. But when I saw there was over 50, it went from corner to corner. It was just like, I just looked at Pastor Kathy, and I was like, wow. And so we just took the time, and we prayed over those guys, and it was a really awesome move. You know, a lot of breakthrough that the pastor said. So, you know, why am I sharing you with? Because we go and we are together. I was gone, Kathy was gone, but we go together because we are Family Worship Center. Not Kathy or not me. John is in Family Worship Center. Kathy is in Family Worship Center. We are Family Worship Center. And so, you know, I share that with you because, you know, God's moving mightily. And, you know, I believe with all my heart that God desires to move mightily here in your life, you know. So we get back on Saturday. You know, my days actually got so smeared that I'm like, what's today? You know, like literally. And we got back on Monday, went and, you know, basically just took the laundry and packed it back, you know, washed it, packed it back. And then some of the team went to Birmingham, Alabama to a conference where I believe it was just wonderful to get in the presence of God and just get poured into. And so it was amazing. We look forward to like the next, which really just got me focused on what's coming, you know. And I know that, you know, here we are. I mean, you think about it, we're in August. Absolutely amazing. We have 4 months left of 2019. It is pretty astounding, but I'm excited about the next 4 months. I really, truly am. You know, just because the summer's gone, camps are done and everything. Now we just get the coast. No, God's not sick. God doesn't want us to coast. God still has more for us to do in this coming year. Because I believe with all my heart, as we round out, we end 2019, our goal should be, and I know my goal is, that we end 2019 as a church doing God's work harder than we started 2019, because when we enter 2020, we're gonna be moving harder, faster, and we're just gonna be moving forward like never before. And then the goal is to end 2020, and then we just continue to keep going on. But man, over the next few months, you know, this morning I want each of you to be excited about the rest of the year. Some of you, you wouldn't be excited if you got a free meal this afternoon. And so, but some of us, it's the truth. And I want to encourage you. We need to get excited. God's got things for you. God's not through with you. You've heard me say it. It doesn't matter if you're a child. It doesn't matter if you're older, or as I like to say, saints. You know, because people don't like when you say older or you say old, you know, and it's just like you say saints, and they're like, well, I can receive that in Jesus' name. And, you know, but it doesn't matter how young or old you are. If you still have breath in your lungs, God's not through with you yet. And so that means we shouldn't stop growing. Amen. We shouldn't stop learning. The old adage of the, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks is not true, because we're not dogs. Okay? We're not dogs. We are God's prized possession, the only creation that He desired to spend time with, to fellowship with. But does that mean all dogs go to heaven? I don't know. Okay, but all I know is that, you know, God wants to fellowship with us. You know, and so you can teach an old dog new tricks. You know, small groups are coming up. Small group training is today. You know, you have something in your heart. I cannot implore you enough how important it is, your leadership development. Those of you that want to grow, I encourage you to lead a small group. I encourage you to get involved with a small group. It is vital. I have seen individuals, some of you have seen people that have attended here for years, all of a sudden just like, man, look at them. They're just growing and they're just moving and they're just doing so much. It's because they're trusting Kathy and I's word. They're trusting their pastor's word to get involved and knowing the benefit and the growth that they're going to have. We don't do what we do, Kusa, with you. We can say, oh, we got 27 small groups in our church. You know, we got 21 small groups in our church. No, it's not about the number of small groups. It's about how many are attending small groups. That's what I look at. Because that means that those individuals are being a part of community. They're being a part of something that God is doing. And so if they're being a part of that, that means God's nurturing them. They're growing. And those individuals that say, you know what? I just don't want to attend one anymore. I want to lead one anymore. But I don't know how to do it. Well, guess what? There's all kinds of training to help you with that. There's no excuse. But I tell you, you see people that have been sitting there in church for years. And all of a sudden, they're like, whoop, whoop, all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. Fruit is just starting to abound. You know, all of a sudden, weary, anemic trees are starting to grow, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's a peach. Bam, there's an apple. Bam, you know? And it's just like, you know, fruit's popping left and right, and you're like, well, what are they doing differently? They're honestly trusting their pastors.
Amen.
Just got to say it. Call a spade a spade. They're trusting the vision that God has given us. They're trusting Dawn when she's like getting in there, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm going to put you at ease. You're going to be an amazing small group leader. You know, God's given us the tools so that you can be successful, you know? And so that meeting is today at 12:30 at Suite 5. Grow, step one started today. You know, if you haven't gone through Grow, I'm going to put everyone on the spot. They say you shouldn't do this. I don't care, okay? Who has gone through Grow? Let me see your hands. That's awesome, 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 awesome. I'll encourage you, put your hands down. If you haven't gone through Grow and your hand didn't go up, I encourage you, you should.
Amen.
You should go through Grow.
Amen.
It's not about membership. It's about showing and learning more, you learning more about you.
That's right.
Well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I don't need to go. You're the old dog that we talked about earlier. And, you know, we don't want to start calling you Old Yellow because we know how that ended in, you know. But, you know, we have to come to a point where we do want to grow. We do want to move forward in our relationship with God. I mean, that's where overflow happens. That's where growth happens. And I could just say this, if it would be working for you thus far, you would be content and happy and you would be pop, 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 fruit be all over the place. But just being honest with you, you know, so grow one. Say, oh, I missed it then. Start step two. Next month, you can just jump right back in and grow one, step one. So, you know, it's, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four. It's amazing. You know, marriage conference is going to be in September. Marriage conference, you see a little promo blurb on the announcement card in the seat back in front of you. You know, Pastor Billy Joe Watts and Pastor Teresa Watts are going to be back, and it's going to be a great time. We want to pour into marriages. We want to pour in individuals that have not been married. Or maybe you're married, you're single again. You know what? Because it's all about not looking for the right person, but truly I believe it's all about being the right person.
Amen.
And it's even like that in our marriages.
Yep.
You know, it's not Tim telling Dawn how she needs to be. You know, it's not Dawn telling Tim. It's not John telling Kathy or Kathy telling John. You know, Pastor Sam telling Miss Nancy, and it's not like that. No, it's about us working on us, being the right person.
Amen.
For our spouse, for most of all, for God.
Yeah.
And so that goes for singles, that goes for single again, that goes for married. And so, you know, that's going to be an amazing time. And then it goes all up into, you know, serve day at the end of the month in September. You know, have that opportunity to do that, be a blessing to our community. And then this year, for the first time, that I don't know if anyone, Pastor Sam might remember, maybe Miss Nancy might remember, but we've never done a mid-year fast, and we're going to do a mid-year fast. You know, and I'm not going to do it by myself. Praise the Lord. You know, and like, well, you know, I don't fast. I slow. You know, it's like, no, we just need to. We want to get on the same page. You know, mid-year, you know, I've noticed the last couple years that we start off strong, but the church seems to lose steam, lose a little momentum. So I prayed, okay, God, what's the plan for 2019? And so it's like that, you know, doing a mid-year fast. It's only 14 days, and we're going to share the vision of what we're going to do. We're all going to do something together. You know, and then it leads right into a Holy Spirit conference with Dr. Mary Frances Rorallo, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Goes right into that. In October, You know, she's in calling, can't wait. Wish it would go faster. Are you sure you don't want me to have to come early and have me come back? No, 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 we're good with October. You know, Dr. Rallo. You know, because God's just having that momentum. Why is he setting stuff up like this? Because it's for, we as a church, we're in this not as a sprint, but as a marathon. We're in it for the long haul. You know, the church doors aren't closing next year. They're not closing in the next couple of years. They're not closing in the next 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. The church is here till Jesus comes back. Because God's called this church to be a beacon, a light, and an example to our community. You know, and then other things, you know, we do have stuff, fall, you know, it's fall picnic and you know, we're going to be involved with the Port Orange Christmas Parade for the first time in several years. We're going to be, you heard Caitlin give the announcement that, you know, there's going to be a Christmas production, you know, and Pastor Kathy and I, you know, we said, we're not going to do it on a Friday night or Saturday night. We're not going to do it on a Thursday night. We're not going to do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to do it on Sunday morning. Bring people in, family, friends, you know. Prime real estate on Sunday morning, that's what I told Kaylin. You get prime real estate, girl, you know. Because we believe in our children. Yes. Giving them that opportunity, giving them that platform, you know. And just so, just very, very, very incredible things that are taking place for the rest of the year. And so, you know, what can we be, you know, I should say this, you know. Can you be excited about those things? Can you be excited about, you know, and like I said earlier, if it didn't matter, it wouldn't matter if somebody would get by us the best steak dinner that they could have, it wouldn't matter. Because some of us just, we just need to stir that gift up on the inside. You know, and I ask you this morning, you know, honestly, are you stuck in the muck? The muck of life, the muck of the world. Now, I just came from Alabama, so, you know, muck, I figure was a good word for this morning. Muck, are you stuck? Just not excited about anything in life. You know, not excited about anything in life. That's probably not life. It's probably just not the family. It's probably just not your situation. Maybe it's how you're looking at things. Maybe it's how you're perceiving things. You know, there's a story about a guy that, you know, he lived in this house, and every time he would get up in the morning and make his coffee, he'd start ranting and yelling and screaming at the neighbors. He would look out his window, making his coffee in the kitchen, look out his window, and there the neighbors consistently always hung up laundry, right? You know, hanging up, remember those days, right, when you used to hang up your laundry on the clothesline? But they always hung up dirty laundry. You know, like, why do they always hang up dirty laundry? Every morning, blah, 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 hanging up dirty laundry, hanging up, you know, why are they hanging up filthy laundry? And then I got to look at it. And one day, the wife just got tired of him ham-hawking and just belly-aching and everything else, and she told him, she handed him some Windex and some towels, and she said, go out there and clean that window. And she cleaned that window, and then you know what? The clothes weren't dirty. The window he was looking out of was dirty. The perception that he had was wrong, but he was blaming everybody else for it. When it was truly, his window perception had to be cleaned. And a lot of times, I believe that there's some people here this morning that maybe your perception window needs to be cleaned in life. Maybe about your relationship with God. You look at the woman with the issue of blood, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. You know, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he was back again at the temple, and the crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Verse 5, the law of Moses says to stone her, but what do you say? Woo! I asked Mary to sing that song on purpose this morning. What They ask, what do you say? Jesus? Some of us, our window of perception needs to be cleaned because we allow what the enemy says about us. I'll personalize it. You need to have your window, your perception window clean because of what the enemy has told you, what the world has told you, what situations have told you, what circumstances have told you, what family members have told you, maybe even what your spouse has told you, maybe your kids have told you, whatever. But you know what? They said, what do you say? And the Bible goes on, and you know what he did. He knelt down. He wrote something in the dirt, and he got up, and he said, though he was without sin, cast the first stone. And each and every one of those people dropped their stone from the oldest to the youngest, and they left. And then it was just Jesus and the woman that was standing there. And he said, woman, this is what he says. Woman, where are your accusers? Where are those individuals that say that to you? And Jesus told this woman, did he say to her, you aren't worthy? Did he say to her, you aren't worth anything? No, he didn't. He said, you, woman, you are forgiven. That's what he said. You think about the woman that had in Luke chapter 8, had the issue of blood for years and years and years. Verses 43 through 48. Verse 47, we'll pick it up there. And he said, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down. This is after she touched his garment, the hem of his garment, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. She was healed immediately in verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Jesus didn't tell this woman, you aren't worthy. You aren't worth anything. Jesus told her, you were healed. You think about Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 21, where it talks about Saul persecuting Christians, Saul killing Christians, being on the road to Damascus, and him having an encounter with Jesus. He's knocked off the horse. He's blinded. And you guys know the story. Saul becomes Paul. It's over two-thirds of your New Testament. Killed Christians. Jesus told Paul, he says, he didn't say, you're not worthy. You aren't worth anything. No, but he looked and he said, you are redeemed. That song that they sang this morning, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say, I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. I'm more than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am because I need to know. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. We all have challenges in life. It's not about being perfect. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say, and this is what God says. We just have to turn around and just say, you know what? God says I'm the head, I'm not the tail, I'm above and up and Eve. God says that I'm a winner, that I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. God says that he knew me from the foundations of the earth. And if he took the time to know my name since before the foundations of the earth, guess what? That means he's got a plan for my life. That means he's got a purpose for my life. You know, you just begin to go on and on and on of what the Bible says. You know, about you, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances, healing, identity, you know, whatever it is, you have to understand. John 10:10 simply says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That, see, the enemy starts at a very young age to steal your identity, to question, so that you can question who you are all the time. You ugly, you don't talk good, or you don't look good, or you this, you that. You don't come from wealth, you come from poverty, you come from that side of the tracks, you this, you that. And the devil's just constantly bombarding since we were little about who we are. Why? Because he knows a child of God that understands his or her identity is extremely dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And that if they understand who they are in Christ, they begin to walk out their full potential. They begin to walk out exactly what the word of God says about them. They begin to walk out and pick up where the apostles left off. And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. To think about what God says about you. Not about anybody else. Not your spouse. Not your kids. You. Because mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you understanding what God says about you and you walking in that will automatically be an example and a witness to your children, to your grandkids. So don't worry about them. You start with you first. And you begin to walk that out. That example will be there for them. You. What does God say about you? What is it that your biggest challenge, you're struggling? What is it that you're struggling with right now that is stopping you up from going out and being used by God? Is it fear? Oh, you like Moses? I could never talk to anybody on the street. I don't know all the Bible, or I don't know the right terminology. Moses said the same thing. Look what God did with Moses because he trusted him. We just have to trust God and know what the Word of God says. The Bible, what the Bible says about you. The Bible says about me. So this morning as the music ministry is coming forward, I want to release you guys, but also I do not. Some real stuff going on in your mind right now. Some real stuff going on in your heart right now. And you know God knows. And God wants you to move past that. Maybe a couple weeks ago we talked about past hurts. You know, you've been hurt in the past and it's just, you know, you got done wrong. You got let down. Those individuals in Quebec, and actually Sherbrooke is the city, the town. Sherbrooke, and they came up. Didn't matter how young or old they were. They came forward because you know what? It wasn't about being embarrassed. It wasn't about who cares if they see me walk up. It was about I'm walking to my healing. I'm walking to whatever it is that they were believing God for. You know? You say, well, we need to have moved like that in the States. I think God desires to move like that. He does. The difference is expectation. That's what I truly believe. Expectation. There is people that came to that Sunday service, not because Pastor Kathy and I are the greatest speakers in the world. Well, she's awesome, but me, you know me. I mean, you know, God uses, I'm the donkey that God uses. That's the way I see it. She's the rider, you know, the perfect, you know. But the thing is, some people travel for 2 hours to be at that church service on that last Sunday. People came with expectation. But some of us struggle to get out of bed because we live 20 minutes away, 10 minutes away. And we wonder why when we look and we see on social media or we watch Christian news stations, all these miracles taking place in different countries. There's a huge expectation. My expectation is for people that don't know God to come into this place, to have an encounter, to know the same Jesus that you worship, to know the same Jesus that answers your prayers, the same Jesus that you call on when you need help, that they have hope, and that they begin to grow in their relationship with God. And then you know what they do? They go out and they tell others. That is how we're supposed to live our lives as children of God. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Father God. Your word says in Acts, as Jesus ascended to heaven after being on this earth for 40 days, he said to the disciples, "You are to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses," he said, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, till the ends of the earth. Father God, that is our plan, the mission statement that you've given us, to be that witness and example, to be that light, to tell people about you.